I got that button on now. Yeah, that's what I look like. Here's a whole stack of stuff here that says God is still good. And I'm going to lay it right there. Is that all right? All right, good job. All the way around, take your Bible, if you will, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, you find the place you're able to stand. And then we'll look there in verse number 21. Isaiah, chapter number 1, verse 21. A lot of preaching in this one chapter this year that in days gone by we hit a lick here, there, and yon. But in this lesson here that we're looking at in chapter number 1, Isaiah, verse 21. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross and thy wine mixed with water. And thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves, and everyone loveth gifts. You know why? Don't see the gift blindeth. And followeth their rewards, and they judge not the fatherless, and neither do the cause of the widow come to them. And therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and the counselors as at the beginning. And afterwards that thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Lord, even when we're unfaithful, you've been faithful to us. Bless, I pray, and I pray you'd save the lost and lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on an old sermon. How has the faithful city become a harlot? And in the day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, is that this is certainly concerning Jerusalem, concerning Israel, concerning Judah, and concerning the people of God. And you know, they started out with a bang. Everywhere they went, the fear of God was upon all those nations round about. And then after a while, it got to where the other nations was rubbing off on them. Instead of them being a witness for God, it got to where that they got to where that they were, mixing, mingling, wanting to be identified with the rest of the world. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that what is it causes that faithful one, that faithful city to become a harlot? What is it? I can tell you, first of all, is that there's a suggestion that there was no Bible. You know, the further you get away from the word of the Lord, the more harlot acting you're going to be. You're going to want to mix and mingle with the rest of the world. And let me say to you that that's what began to happen unto them. They got to where they didn't judge what was right and judge what was wrong. In the day we live in, people, if you try to tell them what's right and wrong, oh, you're judging. Well, yeah, we are judging. We're judging according to the word of the Lord. And if you're scared of that, you know, in the day and hour we're living in, if you're afraid of that, and I realize not one of us is what we ought to be or could be, but we want to say thank God for the fact that we are what we are by the grace of God, and we're not trying to make excuses for ourselves. Let me give you a hint, because I'm not going to live many more years, and I don't know what that means, but I mean, I can't live many more years. But I want to be able to do the best I can while I can for the cause of Christ. And when I'm gone, just remember one little thing. Anytime there's a preacher that gets up that's got a 15-minute message and he has to use 5 minutes of it being able to confess his own sins where he's lied and cheated and connived and cussed all week long, something's wrong with that kind of person. God bless you. Thank you. I appreciate both amens. In the lesson across the country, that not only is now, but it'll get worse till Jesus comes again. I begin to think about, you know, how was it that the city became such a harlot? No righteousness in it. No Bible in it. No judgment in it. I mean, no judges and nobody to be able to stand up and do what was right and preach the word of the Lord. In fact, is you'll find the city become full of murderers. You know, in the day and hour we're living in, you don't have to listen to the news very long until they're going to go to a city that's been destroyed by liars and cheaters and connivers and murderers and thieves. I mean, it's just that way. in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out they sold out to the world, the flesh, and the devil, no doubt about that. And it's easy to get caught up in that. Sound like the days of Bill Clinton, don't it? Who had ever dreamed that we'd have somebody like Bill Clinton, you know, that that was with Monica Lewinsky? And who would have ever dreamed that such a godless act would be performed there in the White House and marked that for all time that's left? I mean, just sad in the day we live in. I want to say this to you, that if you will, just so that you'll know it, in case that you would like to be able to chase a harlot, the world's full of them. No need in you trying to mess up somebody in church already. If you're going to be one of these that are always nitpicking and refuse the preaching of the word of the Lord, then listen, if you're going to chase somebody else's wife or chase somebody else's husband, you ought to find someplace else to do it besides the church of the living God. Now, I realize, I know, that while that we're here and while that we're looking at it, you're going to find that how was it the church became a harlot? How was it Israel became such a harlot? Well, she got away from the word of the Lord. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that in the day and hour we live in, religion has become immoral and it's become godless and becoming indifferent, and it's getting to where nobody just really cares anymore. Let me say to you that I remember when I first got saved. And when I first got saved, I remember how that excited I was about being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and about walking with God and being able to serve the Lord in spirit and truth and being able to help guard my heart, guard my mind, guard myself. I hope you're still that way about yours. I hope you are. And if you're not, then maybe you can do a little checking up and all of that. But let me tell you, the people of Israel got to where they'd become senseless. They absolutely didn't know what was going on or where they needed correction at. They were senseless about it. They were sinful about it. In fact, as you'll find out in verse number 4, you'll find that there was a seed of evildoers. They not only produced children of sin, but you're going to find out is that they were headed the wrong direction and the whole head was sick, so forth and on. Now, you know what the problem is, don't you? Well, in order to be able to get well over something, you've got to first unclog whatever it is that's got you clogged up. You've got to be able to first, what you're going to do is realize and know that you're headed the wrong direction, you're making the wrong decision, and you need to do something to be able to change that. I was thinking about when this lesson was over here, is that the whole head, he said, is sick. And buddy, now it's sunk down into their heart. You know, that's the reason why children have been cursed in the day and hour that we're living in, because they have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that we're living in a world of planned sinners. They not only sin, but they're planning sin. They're not only sin, they're perverted in their sin. And they're not only sinning, but they're presumptuous. They dare to do it, and they're addicted to it, and they just seem like they've got to keep on going for more and more and more. In this lesson that we're looking at, that's how that it does. That's how sin does. It makes you sick in your head, and then it gets down in your heart, and you'll just get to where you don't care one way or the other. Somebody needs to stop up and step up and holler, stop, 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 and look at yourself for just a moment. You find yourself, if you're not careful, in the day and hour that we're living in, committing the same sin over and over. You know why? Sin won't leave you alone. And fact is, you know, and sin's kind of fun for a season. I mean, if it was just, you know, if it was a nasty task and all that, you might look at it a minute. But sin is a pleasurable thing for a season. Once it ruins your heart and your mind, your life, and destroys your family and all that, it's not so funny anymore. But I said all that to be able to say this. You got to first stop the bleeding, and before you can get something mollified with ointment and be able to have the healing balm of Gilead put to your life, you're going to have something from the great physician to be able to show you what your need is. You know, the Bible teaches us there are many medicines that are in the world. Over in Jeremiah chapter 46, it's about verse 11. But none of them could cure. You know, in the day we live in, what we've got wrong in our nation and many times wrong with us, is not some little antidote that we could get from the doctor's office. You know, I've got to wear that now whenever I go to the doctor. I try not to talk about hating old age. My doctor's old as I am. And so I don't want to hurt him. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that in the day and hour that we're living in, is that I've noticed is that there's a few things. If you ever just notice, like the common cold, the flu bug, or anything, they have to stab at it. They have to guess at it. They're not sure which one's which and who's going to be, you know. They don't know. They don't have an idea. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that whenever I go to the doctor that I'm not really dependent upon him. I have to go to be able to get those prescriptions renewed. My wife and does that like that right there. But the other day, you know, remember when she was coughing like she had distemper? What is distemper? Well, that's when them repeated coughs like a dog gets. She's not a dog. But anyhow, the nearest thing that I ever knew to what it was. And we asked this question to the doctor. Is there any way you can give her a shot or some kind of medicine for that? Nope, there's not. It's not anything we got. It'll touch it. I guess he had a lot of people coming in doing that. Nope, there's not anything we can do. Well, God warned us that in the Bible there, that there were many medicines and that cannot cure you. And as a result of that, you're going to find out there's no substitute for what we've got wrong in this country. I begin to think about, you know, that religion can't fix it. Isaiah 51 and verse number 8 will tell you that. What we got going on now, religion can't fix it. I can tell you what you can do. The Bible said that what you'd better do is you'd better muster around, do the best you can. You better take and set up your standard. What that means, your identification flag. That means to let people know whose side that you're on. And let me tell you something, is that whenever you've got the flag of identification, that you're standing for God, the Bible, good and right and moral and decent, I've been washed by the blood, and I'm on my way out of here. I got to say to you, is that whose side are you on, by the way? The Lord's side? I know you are. I know you are. The balm and the antidote and the standard, the Bible. And we either going to stand or buckle, one or the other. And it's coming down to the short rows. I begin to think about, you know, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, is that how had the city become a harlot? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because we've already said it. God said over in chapter number 1 of this same text, verse number 10, hear the word of the Lord. People quit hearing that. I've got some folks that are dead and gone. And let me tell you right now, they're like the average Baptist. He's dead, he's gone, and all that business there. But he said, I don't think I can listen to a preacher more than 2 or 3 years at a time. I said, that's why you live like you live. You realize that, oh, there's not but one or two reasons why that you ought to leave, ever. If you're in a Bible preaching church with a Bible preacher, and the Holy Ghost of God's moving, and every now and again somebody getting saved, and you're getting educated by what the God, Word of God said, there's never a reason for you to be able to leave at all. That means you're a hopscotch Baptist. You're going to hop here a while and there. You ever notice in the town here that we're living in, most of these Southern Baptists, most of them, most of these Southern Baptists, Missionary Baptists, about 2 or 3 years, 3 or 4 years is all they can take a preacher, and then they run him off. You ever notice that? And let me say to you, that's the reason why they never learned nothing. You're going to have to spend a lifetime with your family and the Word of the Lord. And let me tell you, here's how I'd know. If you got to where you had a liberal preacher, whenever I'm gone and I'm sitting there listening to him and he's deader than 10 o'clock, I'm going to find me a church to go to. If I go to a restaurant and sit down and they don't bring me anything to eat, or I can smell raw sewage in the back, I'm not going back there to that restaurant anymore. Now, I don't want to call the name because some of you go there and eat and I don't want you to be disrupted by it. Maybe your sinuses are stopped up worse than mine and you can't smell it. But I can tell you right now, something stinks in suburbia and it's not Lindberger cheese either. in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to either stand with God and the Bible or you're going to buckle one of these days under pressure. I got to tell you something right now, is that whenever you're waving that bloodstained banner and you're showing people that you're giving ear to the word of the Lord, I got to say to you that in chapter number 1 and verse 11, here's what he says. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or goats. In other words, here's what he went ahead and said. Religion without the word of the Lord is just worthless religion. That's what it is. And as a result of that, you're going to find out you better repent and be willing to be obedient unto the word of the Lord. And he said, but if you refuse, in verse 20, if you refuse and you rebel, there's going to be a devouring take place until it destroys you. I got to say to you, Israel in that place that we've read, they could have been delivered, but now they're waiting to be devoured. Notice, if you will, in verse number 28, in verse number 28, he says, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that they could have been delivered, but now they'll be devoured. They'll be consumed. They'll be destroyed. Verse number 30, here's what he said, for ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. Now, you know what that is? That's a slow death, buddy. You take something that starves to death because the want of water. Well, here's an idea. You can see it if you turn on the news at any given point in time. You can see all of California because they mismanage water and funds to have water. You can look at all of California, what it's doing, what a slow way to die and to lose everything you ever own. And of course, you know, the governor out there, I mean, what a nut he is. I don't think those people that are residents of California, I don't think they're getting the picture yet. There may be some rain finally come, and now they're going to have mudslides. But look at how they burned up. I remember whenever I was just a lad growing up, they'd show pictures of people holding hands and going around those big red trees, you know, and redwood trees, and not letting anybody come in and cut any of them. And buddy, we called them tree huggers. Remember that? And as a result of that, they've always been godless. They've always been defiant. And God finally has burned up what they've been worshiping. I can't imagine. I know you've got to feel sorry for some of them, and I do. And then I stop and look at it a minute, and I think, that house that burned up was worth like $15 million. How am I going to feel sorry for a man like that? I say you too, huh? It makes you wonder why that bunch of infidels have got such a leader, or no leader, that's just the guise of it, like the governors and the leadership that they've had in days gone by. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that sin will consume your heart. It'll consume your mind. It'll consume your family. And that's the reason why that God said to come now and let us reason together. He's the only answer. He's the only one that ever has been. You know, there's not a whole lot going on in my circle. But every day that I wake up, I thank God for you as a church. I thank God for my family. I thank God for the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and direct us into all the truth. Every now and again, we take a day off and try to go somewhere. I'm going to be taking a few days off here one of these days, Lord willing. And whenever we do, we go to church and visit somewhere. And I get something out of every church. If I go to four or five churches, you know, that'd be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Wednesday night, there's three times. And if I go to that many churches and all of that, is that out of, let's just say, 10 services, which I won't be gone that long, but let's say 10 services. Do you know what I got that I praise God for out of those dead churches? Lord, I'm glad I don't go to church here but one time every now and again. This thing's deader than 10 o'clock. See? I got to say to you that, if you will, is that make no mistake about it, is that God's on the throne, and he's looking for somebody that he's converted, and he's looking for somebody that'll render praise and thanksgiving for what he's done. And I don't know about you, but out of the agonies that I've suffered and the heartbreak that we've encountered, along with many of you, God has been good to us. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Pray that now you'd help us to be able to exalt and magnify your name together. Bless, I pray, the reading of thy word to every heart and soul. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Revive the saints. Lift up the downhearted. Set the